welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson, and I am joined, as always, on the other line by Susan Miller-Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, it's not going well for the Miami Hurricanes these days.
No, it hasn't been for a while, right?
But this week in particular felt, we had 10 days off, basically, between the Virginia loss, and Manny pops up on a QAM interview. Blake James pops up on a ACC network interview, but otherwise it was kind of like a dead time for Miami. And then we come right back and it's as bad as ever, basically.
It doesn't feel good at all. And as we know, we did the podcast last week. I was in Oregon and I did not bring back Mario. So I know people were clamoring for Mario. I was at practice and yesterday, and it just didn't feel right. It was the first time, I think, in 3 weeks actually, that the media had
because we did not get to see practice the week of the Virginia game.
Right, and that was the Thursday game, I think it was three weeks. So anyway, or almost 3 weeks. It didn't feel right. It was really quiet. We all noticed that, quiet and. Just not like, remember after the whole thing where Manny, said that they were getting them riled up and, they were getting them psyched up and stuff. And they came out, that was the whole tackling thing. They were going to tackle better. And that one Tuesday we went, it was really lively. And this week, you were there. You were with me. It just seemed kind of dead, as you were saying. And I don't know. I don't have a good feeling going into for the Canes going into North Carolina game.
Yeah, it's very much like whatever could go wrong is going wrong situation right now.
So true.
The De'Eric injury is not new. We've obviously talked about it on here that we were under the assumption that he was not coming back probably this year. Became official on Monday. Tyler Van Dyke, they said it's his team the rest of the way. I guess Jake Garcia will be back. They're hoping we'll be back in November, but obviously by then it's going to be Tyler. Even if he gets back, it's just going to be for a couple of weeks. They're not gonna, unless Tyler, I guess, gets hurt, after he gets back. Seems like it's going to be Tyler's team the rest of the way.
Definitely. They're not going to risk Jake for sure, especially
unless they have to,
if they rush him back. Yeah. And I mean, we see what happens when they do that kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's how the week starts. Then, as you said, we're out there for practice on Tuesday. Just like you said, not the most lively day. And then today, we're recording this Wednesday evening. We get word that 10-plus guys did not practice today. Oh, I forgot to also, I guess, mention what Corey Gaynor done for the year. There are like a couple other injury updates. Corey Gaynor out for the year. I think that was the only additional injury, but obviously guys started to get back.
No, there was Al Blades. We found out.
Yeah, Al Blades also
had a hernia, sports hernia surgery.
You got all that on Monday. Then Tuesday, as we said, not the most lively practice in the world that we watch. No official bad news though that day. And then today, Manny Diaz says 10 plus guys did not practice today, for, I guess, a variety of reasons. There's some sort of virus going around campus, not COVID, say, but obviously, it's that time of the year, it's flu season, cold season. So that's going around and apparently knocked a couple guys out of practice. Transfers, I don't think that's surprising anyone, are looming. I don't even know where to start. What concerns you most, or is it the whole package?
Right now, what concerns me is a lot of guys getting sick.
Yeah, last thing they need.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that to me is very concerning. I mean, I know Mark Pope and D. Wiggins weren't in practice, and everybody is assuming that we've all heard that they're going to transfer. We don't know officially. And Manny Diaz did say there will be some guys transferring. And, when he was asked, 247 Sports asked about some of the guys that were missing yesterday. And Most of them were young guys, and there was Sam Brooks, who's a third year sophomore now. Mm-hmm. He was the oldest of the young guys, linebacker. Running back Cody Brown, tight end Khalil Brantley. They're all young. To Cody Brown, tight end Khalil Brantley, freshman, right? So, and then Mark Pope and D. Wiggins. So Pope and Wiggins, I don't think it's necessarily because they're sick with some kind of cold or virus or flu. But Manny said the young guys were ill. So right away, that's Sam Brooks, Cody Brown, and Khalil Brantley. Now, Cody Brown is
backup running back right now.
Yeah, well, and they do have, you know,
Jalen Knighton's back, I guess. Sorry,
Knighton is back,
but he's the third running back right now.
He's in the rotation. Khalil really doesn't play a lot, but the point is, there are other guys. If there were more than 10 players gone, and three of them, we named five, so there's five other players. You know, who are those guys? I have no idea. But that's the most concerning to me because. They're already in bad shape. They don't have a backup quarterback, a real backup quarterback. If something happens to Tyler Van Dyke, I mean, they're in big trouble. So, and they might be anyway, period, even with them. So I just, I know North Carolina has been a real disappointment this season. And I know they were ranked in the top 10 in the preseason. I know they have a really, really good quarterback and things have gone wrong for them, but I don't know. They seem to have Miami's number enough, plenty, like last year. And they're favored right now. I think the point spread is 10 points, we said. And it opened, I think at 6.5 or 7. So all of a sudden it's 10. I mean, it might be because of, you know, and that was, I think that might have been yesterday. It might be because of the virus or the flu or the guys missing or whatever, but it's just Derek, it's just not good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think Tyler showed enough right in the second half of that Virginia game to make you think that he can at least be competent, right? He's not going to be Derek King, obviously. But,
I agree with you. Kind of fun. Fun to watch, you know, to watch somebody new, isn't it?
It's always interesting.
And he's a big guy. That's a big difference between Derek and him. I mean, he's 6'4", I think. He's a big, thick guy. And he had that
question. Right, a little bit. He said he's, you know, sneaky fast, basically, right?
yeah.
So, you know, there's, like I said, I think, you know, the Derek news that came Monday was, it kind of felt inevitable, right? We'd kind of resigned ourselves to Derek or to Tyler Van Dyke being the quarterback the rest of the way. And again, like, that's like, you know, it's not the end of the world, right? Like I said, they can still win games with Tyler at quarterback. Obviously they're a pretty big underdog this week and they would not be that big of an underdog if they had Derek. But again, he can win you a game, but you do not want a freshman quarterback going into really his second career start if you throw out the Central Connecticut State game, which I think you basically can. You do not want a freshman quarterback going into his second career start without a supporting cast that like he expects to have. Right. And if that, like you said, the guys missing, a lot of them were young guys who were, you know, obviously, you know, like you said, Khalil Brantley does not play a lot. Cody Brown does not play a lot. Like most of those couple guys you mentioned do not play a lot. But if obviously like flu and viruses spread and.
Yeah. I'm thinking, think of the position group. I'm just thinking, right. Tight ends, one's a tight end.
And I got to imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I got to imagine Khalil Brantley like rooms with Romello Brinson or something, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to like just figure whatever, maybe. And then also position groups, you know, are they with them during the week or whatever in meeting rooms? So, and running back, God, you don't want another running back in
So it's going to be, you know, we get like a, usually an hour before the game, Miami will send out a, like, these are the guys not playing tonight.
Right.
And it's easy to imagine that being a pretty long list on Saturday based on what we've heard. Yeah. You know, just heard from Manny, basically, not even like behind the scenes sources type stuff, but just based on what Manny said,
right.
Easy to imagine that list being pretty long. And it's easy to imagine that list coming out and us being like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and just hoping that, like, it's not offensive linemen.
Right. Yeah.
And also, you know, this is Tyler's first start on the road. And depending on how many fans show up, because I think their fans are pretty disgusted too.
That's true too.
I have a feeling for Miami, they're showing up. I said I've been at games there where years ago, where, you know, they beat Miami and the fans, they wouldn't do that now, but rush the field, tore down the goalposts. I mean, people do like to not like Miami. And, you know, I understand. And I think if there are a lot of fans there, they could get him discombobulated. And that could be a problem too. You know, penalties, pre-snap penalties, things like that.
Yeah. So it sounds like Derek, the hope is that he will actually be there for the game. Obviously had shoulder surgery, I guess has had it by now. Do we know
for sure
what day?
How could he? Yeah.
They said on Monday that he was planning to have it sometime this week.
And then go to the game. I mean, how could he?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine he would have it after today and get to that game. I can't even believe he would have had it today and get to that game. So. Yeah.
So obviously on Tuesday, which is the first day we talk to players every week, Tyler Van Dyke was kind of like the main attraction, right? We asked him about the idea of maybe having Derek there with him, what Derek has done for him. We've talked to Tyler, obviously, a little bit here in the past. We talked to him after the game, obviously, the Virginia game, obviously. What kind of stood out from this week talking to him? He still seems kind of like the same Tyler Van Dyke, even though he's now the starting quarterback of the Miami.
He's definitely kind of a mellow guy, but he seemed a notch more confident. And also, you know, he was the one that told us that they, which was surprised me a little bit. I asked the question about the pressure, you know, how important this game is considering what happened last year, how badly UM lost. You know, UM lost 62-26 last year.
Yeah.
And I told him there was a lot of pressure on Manny Diaz and on the program in particular. And he said, we actually, right before they came out, I guess, to talk to us,
practice, he said.
Okay. He said, before we came out. Yeah, before. So I guess poor practice. We just watched the end of the game. That's last year's UNC game. They watched the TV broadcast. The announcers talking crap about us or whatever. He said, we're going to have that in the back of our minds. We're going to get revenge on them for sure. We've got to. And he said that real softly. I put in the story. He did. He said, that was the one thing that stood out to me. It doesn't mean one thing because somebody says they're getting revenge. I've written that 100 million times and it never works, but just see that stood out to me, you know, I mean, that might be a rookie mistake kind of, I have a feeling that he said that, but Manny talked about it today too. I asked him about Manny and he said, they do that. They look at video or whatever every week and, still feel the pain, basically.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's interesting. It's such a different North Carolina team than it was last year, right? Obviously, Javonte Williams and Michael Carter were both pretty high NFL draft picks, and those were the two guys. You know, Sam Howell was pretty good in that game. I think Dyami Brown had a couple big catches, too. Obviously, he is also in the NFL now. But really, the story of that game was obviously those two running backs who basically set records, right? It was the most ever rushing yards combined for two teammates. Those guys are gone. This North Carolina team, as you mentioned, is not the North Carolina team of last year. They're 3-3, right?
Yes.
Mac Brown saying, why do you guys have such high expectations for us? It's really your fault that we're disappointing. It is interesting that this North Carolina team, you look at it, you would think there's no way they can run all over Miami in the same way they did last year. But like that game was obviously like in some ways the culmination of Miami's issues. But it's also like they've not fixed it yet, right? Like it feels like every game we're still talking about. I know the rush defense has been better, but obviously the one time they faced a really good running back, Kenneth Walker, shredded them. Which was one of the worst running teams in the country, ran it better than they should have against Miami on last Thursday. So this North Carolina team, like I'm interested to see what they're going to do against Miami, because obviously this team is now Sam Howell's team. They do not have the running game like they did last year, but Miami can't stop the run, and it's going to be, you know, it's easy to see, it's easy to imagine like deja vu from that. Obviously, I'd be shocked if North Carolina put together the same sort of performance, but like it feels like Miami, like that was such a pivotal moment for this regime. And just like here we are again, and nothing has really been fixed from what went wrong in that game. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, it's really true. And
we're not a full year later, but it feels like a pivotal, like that was such a pivotal moment. Now we're getting the redux.
Right. Yeah. And at this point, a lot of it is not just, I don't know, talent or whatever. A lot of it is also psychological and emotional and mental and possible dissension among teammates. And a lot of times in this kind of situation, teams give up, you know, in the middle of the game. They just are like, whatever. Okay. And then they just kind of give up, throw up their hands. And I'm waiting to see. Anything could happen.
Right. That is actually something you've said a lot this year. You've been around Miami as, you know, a long time. And you've mentioned a lot that you've seen teams that just quit. Right. And you have said a couple times that you do not feel like this team has quit on Manny Diaz yet, but, it feels like, as you mentioned, with some basically this is a good transition point to what Manny talked about today. The idea, obviously, of some transfers, and what was it like? It was like the are you in or are you out conversations. I don't remember the exact quote he gave.
Yeah, this week was year. Are you in or are you out? Let's decide, but you know.
What did you take away from that? Obviously, we had the fight last week, too, which I think we touched on briefly last week. What did you take away from talking to Manny today? I was not on that Zoom call.
I take away that, he's a coach. And, you know, he's going to say that everything that he's very proud of them. And, he said, I think some guys saw some hard truths. I take away that there's a problem. That's even with Manny trying to
spin it. Yeah.
Spin it, but
sugarcoat it. Actually,
he was pretty frank about it. He was pretty kind of honest. It's felt like he said, going forward, we can't have sad guys in the locker room. That energy just brings everybody down. Last year they were so connected, he said, and this year they didn't meet expectations. And a lot of the older guys, it's normal, resent some of the younger guys. He didn't say it like that, but he kind of said that happens a lot when the veterans stop playing as much. He could only spin it so much. He couldn't spin it too much. Tell you the truth. Now, we did talk to Tyreek Stevenson, cornerback, and that was interesting because he played at Georgia.
Right.
So he's seen it at Georgia. I mean, I guess it happens in every locker room unless you're winning every game.
Yeah.
Or you see resentment or whatever, even if you are winning possibly. And he said that they just can't, they can't let that happen because it'll just, everything will be for naught basically. He said that if they're all divided, everything's going to go downhill. And that he said, everybody got in a room. We all gave our opinion. We all have to make sure that we're on the same level once we leave the locker room. He said, football comes with emotions and the anger behind some players not getting what they want. He said, we just have to make sure that we keep it to a minimum, remind everyone we're family and that we need each other kind of thing. It was good stuff, he said. But, he's one of the ones that played. And he also, by the way, said that he had a hamstring issue in the last game. So that's not good either.
Yeah. And
they were trying to nurse and rehab the hamstring, but I've also seen
him. He didn't play in the second half, I don't think, at all of that game.
Right. He said in the second quarter it started bothering him. I've also seen hamstrings, forget it. I mean, hamstrings among the skill players, they reoccur and they reoccur. I'm really being a downer, aren't I? It's just a wow. Now that I think about it, there really is not a lot of positives.
Well, yeah, I think the one positive spin that anyone has going into this game, right, is like, hey, Tyler looked pretty good in that Virginia game. There's not a some of those freshmen still look pretty good, right? But that spin will only take you so far when you're in danger of dropping to 2-4. And really, I mean, it's how many times have we joked, and Miami fans at large joked about the Coastal is still in play, right? It's like the saving grace of, obviously we saw with Manny Diaz, I'm sure Al Golden said it over and over again. Maybe Randy Shannon said it over and over again, right? That's kind of been the running joke with Miami football, right? The Coastal is always in play. And obviously Miami wouldn't be mathematically eliminated from the Coastal with a loss, but it would get pretty dire. I've tried to reiterate this point over and over again, like, can they turn this around? Yeah, sure. If they win out, go 9-3, win the Coastal, hey, that's a pretty good year. But there are no signs of it happening. And those it feels like the chances of it happening are getting worse and worse by the day.
Yeah, that's the way that's just the way I feel too. I of course, mathematically, yeah. I mean, they could win the rest of the games, but that's not going to happen. I can't believe it in a million years. So, I mean, I put it this way, I'll almost be like surprised if they win this one. I can't help it. It's just, that's how it feels now. That's how it feels. So, we're going to have to see. I mean, especially with these guys being sick. I don't know.
This week definitely had the feeling of a week where the wheels could come off. Obviously, we'll see on Saturday.
We shall see on Saturday. And Leonard Taylor will play. He'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some long-term positives, right? It seems like Tyler, and obviously we're not going to see Jake, but – you got a couple quarterbacks who look like they could be long-term pieces, and you got some freshmen, and that's how Manny Diaz is going to try to spin this, right? Like, hey, look, our freshmen were our best players, and look how much adversity we had. It's going to be a too little too late, it feels like.
Yeah, I saw, you know, I thought about the Jake situation, which is terrible. I mean, that he had surgery, he had a bad ankle injury, but in one way, it takes that, you know,
controversy away.
Yeah, yeah. Have you thought of that at all?
Definitely. I mean, every move would be second guessed, and it still feels like once every couple of days, like I'll get a mention when I tweet something about Tyler Van Dyke being like, where's Jake Garcia? Like people just somehow missed the news that he's,
I've seen that one. I'm like, where have you been? Where
are you at? Exactly. So, you know, there's people want to drum up a controversy, even where it's not possible for there to be one. So it's really easy to imagine how big a controversy it would be if he was out there. It's a good opportunity for Tyler. You know, if there's a coaching change, you know, there's going to be transfers somewhere. I'm not saying the quarterbacks would transfer, but
right.
You know, it's a good opportunity for Tyler, who's obviously has a year of experience on Jake, to kind of like make his mark going into next year when Derek King is probably not here anymore.
Right. Hey, that's the other thing. Derek King, I just can't believe he'll return. I can't believe. And you know what? Even the fans are like, that's enough. I fans, it's really sad. You know, fans were like, okay, let's move on. That's the other thing. Now that we got a new quarterback, you know, they're grasping for whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good time right now. should we wrap up with, just like kind of North Carolina preview kind of talk? This is going to be the biggest game of the year. That's why I'm going, because we thought it was going to be the biggest game of the year. And it's kind of crazy that we are 6 weeks into the season and it's like, who cares? Like, what channel is this game even going to be on? Like, what
is it? It's on the illustrious ACC network.
Yeah. Well, like this was like a game day contender probably at the start of the year. And now,
It actually could have been on ESPNU, like that's a bit ESPN2. But as soon as North Carolina lost to Florida State, that was the end of that. It was Florida State, right? Yeah. They just lost it.
Yeah.
So, and that's it. By the way, that's another game coming up.
Florida State. Yeah, I mean, this could get ugly in a hurry is where the situation we're at. You mentioned just being that you would be surprised if they win this weekend. What would a win do? Would it mean anything?
It would
prolong the inevitable?
No, I think it would be very important. I can't say for sure. I don't know. Of course, then everybody would say, you know, North Carolina sucks.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't know. I think Sam Howell's a really good quarterback, but I think a win would be really, really important. It's not like beating Central Connecticut State.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And it's on the road. I think it would give Tyler Van Dyke a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, think of how much confidence he seemed to take from the second half of the Virginia game, a win on the road.
The weird thing about Miami is, like, could they ever dominate in a win? Could it not be like a last second field goal or something?
No, they can't.
I guess they can't, yeah. Because that, to me, if they could actually win big or just win normally – and not play like crud, I think a win would be really important, right? I mean, it would go on. What's next? Next week is
NC State.
Yeah, and they're good, but they're coming to Miami. I mean, that has to help. A win is important. I think a win would be important, and it would so for sure let Manny Diaz survive another week too. which I'm sure fans listening to this are cursing me out now or whatever, but I mean, you know, I just think it would be a very good thing. How about you?
I feel like it would sort of delay the inevitable, right? It does not feel like this season's going to get on track. Maybe we're wrong. You know, this team was pretty good last year.
But it can't get on track if they don't win.
Right, but it's got to start somewhere, right? I was about to say that. So it would be a week of – the weird thing is it would be – Miami has played in this like weird like dissonance kind of thing, right? Where they have been trying to like preach optimism while it feels like no one wants to hear that. And we would get a week of that where we get the weird dissonance of like Miami feels pretty good about things and no one else outside the program does. And in this modern social media era, obviously it makes it hard to ignore the outside noise a little bit, but like you said, it's a win. It's got to start somewhere, and I don't like you said. What are they? 10-point underdogs? I think you said. At this point, like people are not very confident in the Canes these days.
No,
I think a team with some that's still willing to fight a little bit would probably be a little. You know, they obviously listen to the outside noise. Like that's become clear this year. A team that's got a little fight in them would hopefully respond to that a little bit.
Yeah, I like the way. Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised they're 10-point underdogs. I guess I should say. Like, it does not feel like North Carolina's. I'm not saying Miami's going to cover or anything, but because it's Miami, I don't trust anything. But like, they considering North Carolina just lost to Florida State, like people are really, really out on Miami.
Yeah, but they are. I just think that, and who knows if the point spread will get bigger. I just think the thing about the virus and the thing about D'Eric and this thing about the dissension or the locker room, you know, the older guys versus the younger guys and, a come to whomever, bull sessions. And I just think all of it together and Miami's history. And the way they've played and the way they give up sometimes in previous years. I think if they can show fight, like you said, if they can show fight and win, that would be very, very, very good. You can just do one week at a time and that would be really good.
Yep. Got to start somewhere. It's got to start with one week at a time. I don't think either of us are predicting a victory this weekend, but it's definitely going to be it feels like every weekend is a pivotal weekend at this point. Not necessarily because Manny Diaz is just going to get fired a day after a game. We don't have any like intel of what might cause the end of the Manny Diaz era, but it does feel like any one of these, even if it's not like when Miami beat Willie Taggart and they fired him the next beat Florida State and they fired Willie Taggart the next day. It does feel like eventually one of these losses is just the nail in the coffin. I'm not sure if this can be the nail in the coffin, but it can be the coffin's closed and the nail is lined up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be, I think you never know what's going to happen. So it just depends on the game. It just depends. Because of knee-jerk reactions, not even just knee-jerk.
Nothing's knee-jerk at this point. We've been...
Yeah, the emotion. Exactly. Just the emotions of people, depending on what, if they lose, what the loss is like. If it's really ugly, anything goes. Anything goes. Because people, will get upset. People that also work with the program or
people on the board or people who have pull with the program. I mean, that's what does it ultimately. And obviously I think it's well known at this point that there's a different feeling inside the program right now than there's the feeling inside the program right now that change needs to happen. What it starts with basically. Right.
Yes.
All right. Let's wrap things up there. You can follow Susan on Twitter at S Miller Degnan. She's got all your Hurricanes coverage from this week. You can follow me on Twitter at DBWilson2. I will be at Panthers opening night on Thursday. The one good team in South Florida.
Yay. Yeah. David covers the Panthers, the Heat.
Yeah. It's going to be way, it's going to be way more fun than the fall in South Florida here. Anthony and I talked about that on our podcast this week, but
yeah,
we've actually got some good vibes with those teams right now.
Yeah. How about those Dolphins?
Yeah. And
cover those guys too. So. Yeah.
Oh, how about Greg Rousseau?
Yeah, Greg Rousseau. Yeah, I tweeted.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I so cool. We got to get him on the podcast again.
We do. At some point. Maybe when things get a little, when we don't have to bring him on and ask, so what do you think about Manny Diaz's job security? Some other time later in the NFL season when we know where this Miami season is taken up. But we are definitely a pro Greg Rousseau podcast here. Both a favorite of both of ours. So awesome to see him, not just defensive rookie of the week, defensive player of the week in the AFC for his performance on Sunday Night Football.
I know, isn't that awesome? Defensive player of the week. I tweeted to him and I said, I retweeted it. I said, I knew you when. And not only that, I told him that I chose to, and I knew who to do the
right. Yeah.
My pre-draft story on.
Right. You could have done him or Jalen. And Jalen's gotten things together too with the Dolphins these last couple of weeks. Obviously, Greg has been awesome, but Jalen's looking like he's a couple of good pro canes went into the league this year. That'll tie.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Jalen. I agree. Jalen's really good. You know, everybody was like, Greg, whatever. Jalen is the stud. Jalen is really good. But I'm so happy for Greg because he's amazing.
Yeah. Writing about recruiting, you get a lot of like the coaches like BS spin, right? Where they're like, oh, this guy is like blank. But I do remember I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Dennis Mariquin, who used to be the coach at Champagnat, who you talked to when you did the Greg Rousseau story. I always remember him saying, he's like Jason Taylor. And I was like, all right, this is just smoke, like whatever. He's a quote to throw in a little feature, but I don't know if he's Jason Taylor, but he looks pretty good.
Hey, do you see that play where he like was blocking that guy?
Yeah, whatever. Incredible.
He kept moving and moving and moving like to his left, and then just like it was like a little toy.
Yeah, he's got more than Calais Campbell vibes, right? And Calais Campbell blocked the field goal to win, basically help the Ravens win a game in overtime the other night. That's the comp I think that makes a lot of sense for him. You could easily see him putting together a Calais Campbell type career. So
in a lot like I said, of ways,
good pro games.
Yeah, and same person, same kind of personalities. Definitely. Calais is awesome. Mm-hmm.
So. Cool. All right, Susan, thanks as always for doing this, and we will talk to you all next week.
Yeah, we will. Hopefully it'll be a happy podcast.
We'll see. We've got our doubts, but we'll see. Maybe.
Okay.
All right, talk to you guys later.